Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Nick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Nick. And we're having some technical difficulties with the Philly Hump. I'm not sure what's going on. Hello,
hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Okay, another fantastic Blog Talk screw-up. I probably got in like a minute ago, and I'm not sure why it didn't let you talk. But anyway, enough of that. We're live. If you guys want to call into the show, 347-989-0699. We're here to talk a whole bunch of stuff because a lot happened in the last week or two, and we'll get into that. Let's just dive into the biggest news, at least for the Eagles are concerned, with the releasing of Evan Mathis. Pop, what's your thought process on all this?
Well, it's not something I don't think we saw it coming. I think it's stupid, personally. I definitely, whenever you're releasing a Pro Bowl level player, you know, it's not a smart move. And especially at a position you were already weak on, you were replacing one guard anyway this year with Todd Harriman leaving in free agency. You know, everybody keeps saying trust in Chip. And, I mean, I get it. I think people want to believe in him. Moves like this really make me question. I don't get it.
Okay, but wouldn't you admit that this kind of is in line with every other move that he's been making?
Sure, I'm not saying I agree with all those either.
So it's not like this is necessarily a shock or it's necessarily out of the norm for what Chip's done. I understand.
I understood. We saw this coming, and I could see it coming. I didn't really want to admit it again, just like some of the other moves where it kind of leaves me scratching my head. So now what's your plan at guard? And God forbid if somebody gets hurt, what's your plan then? You didn't draft anybody in the draft. What are you, freaking stupid? I mean, do you not want to build a winner? Like, it's just mind-boggling to me.
Well, the way you're describing it, it seems like, yeah, this is something that you're, I guess, shocked by, in a way.
And well, it's just they weren't in a position to be able to do this. If you wanted to be able to do this, put yourself in a position, draft some offensive linemen. I'm sorry, not every rookie free agent is going to be able to step in and play.
You're right. You're right. You know, as much as obviously Evan Mathis was a Pro Bowler, you know, simple fact
but
is
I guess they just grow on trees.
I don't necessarily think they grow on trees. I hope not, because
that's
what
would you tell Chip?
We should look for that tree.
Yeah. Right.
Well, no, I think I understand it, I think, a lot more than some of the other moves, in all honesty.
I understand it, I understand because I saw it coming because of the salary and the dispute between
sure.
the two. But it doesn't. But I'm saying from a football sense, it makes zero sense.
Yeah, but so we all thought the same thing about the Deshaun thing.
And I still think the Deshaun Jackson thing made no sense. Letting a Pro Bowler walk for nothing.
All right.
My opinion on that hasn't changed.
Well, see, mine has. Obviously, I think we were all shocked because it was the first major move that Chip really did. But as much as you know me, I was a huge D-Jax fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with not having him on the team right now. I'm okay. Yes, it would have been great to re-sign Macklin.
Well, that makes one of us.
It would have been great to re-sign Macklin, but quite honestly,
well, that's the one that
Think about it this way. We've been, the Eagles as an organization has been doing you know, the same thing for, well, at least for the previous 14 years in the Andy Reid tenure. And, yeah, we had a lot of success, but we didn't have the ultimate success. And before that, it was kind of, you know, it was the same mindset, Well, you know what? We haven't won a Super Bowl. And what's, you know, I'm willing to see this through because I have a feeling that once Chip gets 53 guys that are all in and that are ready to play and that know what is expected of them and know how to handle this system and everything that goes with it, I think this is going to be an amazing team. We have talented players, and if we get everybody on the same team under Chip's reign, I think this could be a Super Bowl caliber team for years to come once that all happens. This Evan Mathis thing is obviously a step back. But sometimes you got to take a step back.
You don't become a Super Bowl team by cutting good players. You'll never get me on board with that, especially giving it away for nothing. If you wanted to make a move around the draft, and I know he basically came out and said, we've been trying to trade Evan Mathis for 2 years and nobody wants him. I think that was a shot at Evan Mathis. I think that was something to try and tell him, either get on board or you're going to be out of here. And from that sense, if you're going to have a guy that's going to divide the locker room, I agree, you've got to get him out of here. I just think there had to have been a better one. Like, I mean, what, you couldn't get a conditional pick for the guy? Like, I'm sorry, I don't, like, if you don't ostracize him in the media that way, you've got to play your hand better than that. And Chip Kelly's got to know better than that. I'm sorry, if you're going to be here and everybody's going to buy into you and the town's going to support you, you've got to be smarter than that. You've got to be able to work the room a little bit better than that.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. I would have obviously loved to have gotten something back for him, for D-Jax, you know, definitely. But
exactly. You can't convince me that you couldn't have gotten something back for them. I mean, but they let things leak. They basically air their dirty laundry in public, which I've, you know, any company, any organization anywhere will tell you it's never a good idea to air your dirty laundry in public. Yeah, you know, whether it be personal relationships or business relationships, it's just not smart. Nothing good can come from that.
I don't think that's necessarily Chip's fault. I think that's the kind of, unfortunately, the time that we live in. Think about it. Think about anybody who's been cut or released or traded. It's usually followed by something that's popped out in the media about something bad, whether it be legally.
Well, then this organization's got to get better at keeping things a little more closed-lipped.
I mean, you're absolutely right. But when you have 100 reporters constantly sniffing around, it's hard to keep things under wraps. I mean, a perfect example is this Joel Embiid story.
That's another one that's got me ready to jump off a bridge. I mean,
he's not
for the fact that I'm not a huge NBA guy. Like, if I were a diehard Sixer guy, you know, lived and breathed with every game, this news would, I mean, you'd have to put me on suicide watch. Like, this is bad.
I don't think it's that bad.
Dude, if it's as bad as some of the things I've heard, I mean, now, granted, it's
okay,
all speculation until we...
Okay, but since the reports have come out, everyone and their mother have been throwing rumors around, Oh, he's going to be out for the year. He's going to need surgery. He's going to blah, blah, blah. All it was the fact that he was projected to be at this level of recovery. He is slightly under that at this level. So it's going to be.
And now Summer League is in question. And even if a report comes out today that yesterday's report was completely bogus and Embiid is ahead of schedule, after the scare we had yesterday, don't even put him in Summer League. That's my thought process. What is yours?
Well, my whole point in bringing up Embiid is the simple fact that the Sixers clearly knew about this for a long time. And they were tight-lipped. They weren't telling anybody, and sure enough, somebody weaseled their way in and found out and wrote the story, and then they had to react. And
okay, but the Sixers were able to keep it under wraps for months. Can the Eagles keep something under wraps for a week?
How do we know? How do we know that Evan Mathis and Chip Kelly weren't fighting for 6 months?
We don't know that.
I know they have been. We've been hearing
media.
About that since... I mean, what was it, when LeSean McCoy got traded? I remember hearing right away that, oh, they think Evan Mathis might be next.
Okay, but you're clearly not getting what I'm trying to say. It's the simple fact of the matter is, with today's media, with Twitter, with Facebook, with everything on everybody's phones, things are easily accessible. Media are easily accessible in the locker room. And everywhere, and talking to this person, talking to that person, things come out whether you want them to or not, because of the time that we live in. So you can get angry at Chip trying to not, you know, keeping this in house. I say good luck to any team trying to keep things in house. That's more than just, you know, a simple story, fighting between, you know, coaches or...
Well, my problem actually with Chip Kelly is he can't manage egos. It's plain and simple. Between everybody that he's chased out of town... The list of players that he's chased out of town are the players that... I mean,
You look at it as mismanagement. I look at it, he doesn't want to fucking deal with these whiny little prima donnas.
Well,
I
guess what? The league is full of them. You're going to cut every player who, you know, all of a sudden gets some self-confidence and feels like he can play?
That's not the player he's looking for.
You're right. We don't want anybody who thinks they know how to play this game.
Okay, you're clearly way too angry about all that. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm angry that more people aren't angry. Like, how does it not bother more people?
What I'm saying is there's a difference.
And what has he done to earn this level of trust?
Because what else has worked for us in the past? What else do we have to show that has worked here in this town? Nothing. So why not just sit back, let him do his thing, and you know what? If it doesn't work, oh well. You know what? Then that's another person in the line of coaches and management that failed to win us the Super Bowl. What's the harm in that? Why not try to give him the time
Where's it? Not just from you, but I mean, like, the whole city. This seems like the perspective is sit back and
let
Philadelphia ever sat back and let anybody do anything?
Have you listened to sports talk radio? People are blasting shit left and right.
I've been listening for 20-something years. I've been listening for the last couple of days. Granted, there's some difficulties with my 97.5 app at my desk, but that's more of a personal issue.
There's more haters than there are supporters.
Well, I haven't gotten a chance to listen today, which, I mean, this I know that's when the news came down, I heard this morning. And so I haven't gotten a chance to listen to 97.5 yet today, or to be, you know, completely unbiased here, or 94.1. I haven't listened to them either. So I don't know what the reaction has been from everybody else. My issue is strictly from a football sense. You didn't have enough players to fill the guard positions with the losses that you've already had. And now you want to create another one. You want an off season where you're filling up you're replacing both guards with guys who basically were already on your roster but weren't, you know, top on your depth charts.
Well, the reason why is because the players on the team are all Pro Bowlers.
You lost two Pro Bowlers, and you're replacing them with two guys who haven't been starters in this league.
only because
and
they've been
that's
the
concern. And I feel like I have every right to be concerned about that. And I feel like I have every right to call the coach, the guy making the decisions. I feel like I have a right and a responsibility to call him on the carpet for it.
Oh, responsibility. That's funny.
As a fan, I'm a customer, and I'm calling out the organization that I put my money, you know, me, my father, and every other season ticket holder, we put our money into this product, and we have expectations. And I don't think it's unreasonable to call them out for it. Now, other talk show hosts around the country want to insult Philadelphia fans, saying that we always call guys on the carpet and we're always wrong. Guys like Colin Cowherd, who, by the way, you can kiss my ass.
Okay. Someone does all that Colin Cowherd.
I hate that guy. I hate him.
I kind of don't like him either, but probably for different reasons, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, I digress. But
I feel like we're getting off topic.
We are, but as a business owner, and then let's just call it what it is. This is a business. A business owner, they definitely listen to the clients or the customers and their concerns or their ideas or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's their business. If you don't like it, you go buy somewhere else.
So is that what the Eagles are trying to tell me? Maybe I should go and try to be a fan for a different team? Now, look, I'm not jumping ship over Evan Mathis, but
I think if you're that upset, go for it. If you're that upset over this move, or anyone in general, and that you're going to stop watching the Eagles, or, that's enough, this Chip Kelly, he's doing this. He's shipped away my favorite players. Well, guess what? You know what? In the long and the short, I'm not a fan of the players. I'm a fan of the team. I don't give a crap who's on the team.
I was a fan before Mathis came here. I'll be a fan after. But that doesn't mean I can't voice my displeasure.
I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying I don't care if you're the starting quarterback. And you know what? Whoever else is the starting tackle. I don't care who it is. I'm a fan of the team, and all I care about is if they win. And you know what? Guess what? It's the off season. I don't know what this team is supposed to be like. I'm not going to know that until we start playing games. So until then, I'm not going to bitch and complain because I don't know whether it's going to work. I'm not Chip Kelly. I'm not a general manager. I'm not a coach. I'm not an owner. But these people are, and they've been doing it for a while. They know football a lot more than we do. And as much as I'd like to say that we know a lot, they know more. And look at where they're at. So you know what? As for all the times and all the years that we've dealt with, the crappy years, the bullshit, the bad coaches, the bad quarterbacks, the no-name wide receivers. We've been through it all. And you know what?
Well, I would say get ready for some no-name offensive guards, but I'm pretty sure they're just supposed to be no-names even if they're good.
You're right. But think about it. We witnessed the highs and the lows, and guess what? Our high isn't that high. Our high isn't the ultimate high. So I'm willing to see this play out. You know what? I think everybody thinks each move singularly, and they see, oh, well, this means this. Oh, this move, oh, no. Well, guess what? Maybe Chip's thinking a year down the road. Maybe it's the fact that Evan Mathis is 34 years old. Maybe he's getting a little long in the tooth. Maybe the fact that the matter is he's going to be making $6 million for a 34-year-old that's probably never going to play at a Pro Bowl level again. I don't know that. He's seen it. Maybe he's seen something that nobody else knows.
Which would have been a great reason why, if you draft somebody in the draft, a young kid, 22 years old,
you're absolutely
and you
right.
Say,
you,
this guy, you say, this
he
guy can up. Plug in and play. And if not this year, we can start him next year, and Evan Mathis plays this last year, and then we cut him loose. I would have been on board
with
that.
That's exactly what we were planning on doing in the third round. And I think right before our pick, wasn't there like five?
Yeah, there was a run on offensive linemen.
Right before us?
Mm-hmm. Which maybe that would have been the round to trade up in as opposed to in the second round.
Well, sure. I agree.
But then again, but I think we may have gotten a starting corner in that second round in Eric Rowe.
Well,
so
I'm
not
going
to knock that move. Look, if you can find a way to make it work with the two young guards there in the middle, you're going to have to get more out of Peters this year than you did last year. Just let's be honest. He didn't play at the Pro Bowl level, and I don't know if old men like him bounce back.
He had some nagging injuries. You know, Lane Johnson, you know, another full year for him.
He's
going
to have to play better than he did at the end of last year, too.
Well, listen. There's also roster cuts still to come. Who knows if there might be a veteran, decent guard that comes in we could sign for a year and hold us off for a year. Who knows?
Well, they're gonna have to do something like that. I think even if not to be a starter, but to compete for a starter, to push one of these young guys, I think they're gonna have to do something like that.
And who knows? You know what? The reason why we're upset because we offensive linemen backups are no names. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows how good they are. Nobody knows anything about them because they don't ever get in the game. It's not like a rotation in defense or wide receivers where maybe the fifth one will actually still see a little time. The backup offensive linemen don't see anything unless there's injuries. So people
they're probably in on some special teams, but you can't tell anything from that.
No, I need to know what you're going to be like on the line. And plain and simple is we don't know what we truly have with Tobin, with Barber, with Kelly. Yeah, we've seen them a little bit, but we haven't really seen them. And they're young. Let them grow a little bit. Maybe a training camp in the starting position with the other guys. Maybe they can rely a little bit on Kelsey and Peters and Johnson to kind of help them through, you know, some troubles that they have. You think about it this way. When in the history of Eagles' offensive line, have we had an offensive line that's truly this good? I mean, yes, we had great years with Trey Thomas and Runyon and, you know, a couple other guys, but...
Yeah, Harriman, Andrews.
Peters is a perennial all-pro left tackle. Some might even say has the chance to be in the Hall of Fame. Jason Kelsey, a young, up-and-coming center who's just a blazingly quick, who's a monster.
Hey, well, I think he might be the best center in football.
Yeah, Lane Johnson, one of the best right tackles in football, right now, because he's young. He's talented, and he's athletic. So right there, you have three all-pros, potential all-pros for this year. You know what? When have we ever had a full line of, like, studs? Honestly, last couple of years has probably been the time with Mathis and Harriman's in there that if you really had a nice five starting lineup for the offensive line.
Yeah, I'd say the 2013 starting offensive line.
Yeah.
That was, the best offensive line we've seen since, probably the middle of the Andy Reid era.
Might be better than
I think the middle of the Andy Reid era is when it was the best. Thomas, Runyon, Harriman, and Andrews with Hank Fraley, et cetera. I think that was the best offensive line unit. The one we had in 2013 is right there with them, but that's the one I would have said.
Okay, but my point is
putting hairs here, and I think we're getting off the point again as far as my problem with the move is simply you didn't do enough to position yourself to be successful to make this move.
The reason why
I didn't have as big a problem with the DeSean Jackson move was there was time to make some moves to get some other people. There's no draft upcoming. There's no, guys who get our roster, roster cut victims or salary cap victims, those you might get a shot at a couple guys. Like, there might be somebody that you could go get. But right now, I think everybody else is looking at Evan Mathis as the guy they're going to go get in that kind of move.
Well, from everything I hear, there's only about four or five teams that's actually inquired about signing him.
That's because a lot of rosters are full right now.
You're right, but still, who wouldn't want to have a nice guard? I mean, honestly, how many guards are in this league that are technically any good? I'm sure if you looked at everyone's roster, I'm sure you could be like, Evan Mathis could easily start in 30 of these teams, 25 of these teams. So why aren't 25
people? Well, again,
it's
going to be whether or not they have young guys in positions that they want to let have that role.
But
it's going to depend on the situation, sure. Look, again, singularly, I don't have a terrible issue with you want to get rid of Evan Mathis. You think it sends a better message to your locker room that you're not bigger than this team. You're not going to bully us into giving you a new contract. I don't have a problem with you making that kind of statement. I have a problem with not having guys in position and saying, you know, okay, we lose Evan Mathis. What happens?
Yeah,
tell us not a conversation that comes up in the room. You know, what are they going to do with guard? And again, I think part of the problem is there's nobody down there that can say anything to Chip Kelly and say, look, Chip, I think you're off base here.
I don't necessarily agree that there's not someone there that might. I don't think he's just surrounded himself by yes men. I think what they honestly did was they took a look at the roster and they said, you know what? I really like the progression of Tobin, Barbary, Kelly, whoever. You know, I really think that they can step in and be a just as good of a piece to this team as Mathis was for us for years.
Yeah, but now you need two of those three to step up and be that good. And, again, like, I hate to ask this question, but what happens if we get an injury?
Well, we did just sign an offensive lineman, yesterday, I think? Somebody from Buffalo.
Yeah, I read that.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but.
Well, look, I know offensive linemen aren't exactly, you know, the sexy position to talk about. And I knew once we got talking about this was going to gobble up most of our conversation. There's only a couple minutes left. But,
yeah, we have about 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
It happens.
But, I mean, time's going to tell. And I know, like, when they start bashing people with their, blind Chip Kelly following, and I support him because I support the team, but I am going to question when I feel like a guy might be letting his ego control his moves. I'm going to call him out on it. See, and I think this is a case where,
I don't think it's ego.
I do. I think it's Evan Mathis wasn't just falling in line behind Chip Kelly, and he said, okay, buddy, I can win without you, too.
That's the media right there spewing that BS.
Who's saying that? I haven't heard anybody say that.
Are you kidding me? I hear everyone saying that. Everyone's saying, oh, Chip Kelly, he's so arrogant.
I think Jim Kelly controlled the room. He controlled the press conference much better than Andy Reid ever did. In fact, I think Andy Reid should go to Chip Kelly for maybe some advice on how to handle media.
Chip Kelly is very good
at dodging questions. And we didn't even get into some of the things that I would love to, some of the other moves that I didn't necessarily have a problem with, but when they all start adding up, it just makes you think, if he could, like, other than Borenbos, who's the longest tenured Eagle now on this team? I mean, is it Peters?
It might be. Well, we got less than a minute. We'll take this conversation into the podcast. Real quick, though, I want to thank everybody for listening, for following us on Facebook and Twitter. The_Philly_Mick and the_Philly_Pump. Also, make sure you check out the soon-to-be-live Big Philly Style vlog. You can check us on Twitter at Big Philly Style 3, because that was something that I left. And also email us. We're going to head to the podcast now. So for the Philly Mick,
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening in Philadelphia. we're on live there. But, yeah, so you can email the new blog. It's bigphillystyleblog@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. Check us out on Twitter. Like I said, at bigphillystyle3, because apparently Big Philly Style and Big Philly Style 1 and 2 were taken.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, so follow us. We're going to be starting to tweet out some of our articles that are coming soon. Once we officially go live, we had a bit of a slow week, just, you know, work and life getting in the way. But so we'll be hopefully ramping that up. I got to fix a few things on the website, get another couple articles up, and we'll be going live soon. So you can check us out there. Also, we're also on Facebook. You can look us up. Big Philly, first name, style blog is going to be the last name. So we're on there. What else? I think that's all the social medias for the new blog. But check us out. We'll be having a show on there as well, as well as wonderful articles about all four sports. And some other awesome dude things, as I like to say. Yeah, so anyway, getting back. Don't get me wrong. This definitely was a setback. It's just, let's see how the team comes around. I mean, as soon as Mathis got cut, there were a couple of Eagles that came out and said, yeah, you know what? You know, we want to practice with the people who want to be here. And it was evident that Mathis didn't want to be here. For whatever reason, if it was...
Well, he wants a new contract. And
well,
I don't believe he's entitled to one, but a little bit of clashing
with Chip, you don't know. And I'm not going to try to pretend to know. I'm not going to assume. It's just bad things happen when you assume them anyway, so... But plain and simple is Evan Mathis is no longer here, and we'll see how they do to replace him. And hopefully one of the young guys steps up. Hopefully a decent veteran gets cut. Whatever the case may be, I still think we're going to be fine. I don't think not having Mathis is going to end our season. I still think we're going to be a competitive team, right around 10 wins. We got a little bit of an easier schedule this year. Our run game should be sick. So,
I do think our running game is going to be good, but I mean, again, it comes down to how those guys are going to play in the middle. Because what does DeMarco Murray like to do? He likes to run up the middle, and that's behind the two guards, and they're going to be two new guys.
Yeah, Mathis was more of a pass blocker than a run blocker. For
sure.
Being a guy.
And I think that was another reason why Chip Kelly wasn't all about giving him a bigger contract is he loves the running game, and Evan Mathis is more of a, like you said, more of a pass blocker.
Yeah.
So I think there was also a schematic non-fit as well. I don't have an issue with that. It's just I wish they had done some more to prepare for it.
I agree. But obviously, they should have drafted somebody. For whatever reason, I think it was the third, the third rounder that kind of screwed them a little bit. They had a whole bunch of people that I'm sure they looked like they were targeting. But this didn't happen. But regardless, we are what we are. Let's see how it goes into training camp and to some of the preseason games, and let's not judge until we see it be terrible. If it is terrible, then by all means, scream your head off. We don't know that yet. We don't know if it's going to be terrible. We don't know if it's going to be great. Until we see it and start seeing it in some games, well, then we'll know.
Okay, but I have your permission to start screaming if it doesn't... Okay.
Well, you certainly don't need my permission to start screaming.
Well, I know.
I know you know, too.
You don't
need anyone's permission to start screaming. That's just kind of what you do.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing.
I just don't want people to jump off the cliff because of this move. I don't think it's the end of the world. We've seen worse. We're going to see worse.
I agree with that.
The reason why I'm, and it's not blind faith in, no, it's not blind faith in Chip Kelly. I don't. I'm critical. I haven't liked every one of his moves, especially right when I've seen it. But you give a little time to digest it, sleep on it. You know, everybody and their mother hated that shady move. Next day, I was like, I'm cool with it. I slept on it. I said, all right. As much as I love shady, and I got a lot of shady swag.
Sure.
Things on my wall. Money spent on shady.
I was a cocky shady fan myself, too.
He was a cocky little dick. He was arrogant.
And I definitely, I'll tell you, when we first made the deal, my first thought was, when he comes back, you know, to play us, because he's going to be playing the Eagles in week 13,
yep.
I was going to wear my Eagles Shady McCoy jersey, I was going to cheer him when he came out, and, of course, be all about the Eagles after he came out. But now, he's definitely not getting that kind of specialized treatment, the kind of treatment that I gave for guys like Brian Dawkins, Donovan McNabb. When they came back and played against us, I wore their Eagles jerseys and cheered for them when they came out, and then, of course, cheered on the team. LeSean McCoy, because of what he's done since then, has definitely made sure he's not getting that kind of treatment.
Yeah, he's alienated the fans. He made it go from, oh, poor Shady, he got traded for no good reason, to, oh, I got it. He's a dick. What an asshole.
Now all of a sudden it makes you also look back at other things that maybe you forgave or looked the other way on about him and look at it in a different light. Like the whole Twitter war he had with his baby mama.
Right.
And then, of course, the tip gate.
Yeah.
It makes you think, wow, you know what? This guy really is an asshole.
Right. And who knows how, and he was probably an even bigger asshole behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably fought, argued with Chip. And you know what? Listen, Chip is the boss. I don't know what job you've ever been with, but usually it's not a good idea to argue and or yell at your boss.
You can not like your boss. You can disagree fundamentally with your boss.
Absolutely.
You can't embarrass him in front of the other workers or the general public. You can't call him out. You've got to still be willing to do your job and at least pretend to care about what he thinks.
Absolutely.
I mean, you and I have been in those situations where we've not liked our boss,
mm-hmm.
and we've had to suck it up, whether it be just for our financial stability. Well, okay, let's be honest.
It's the only reason we sucked it up. So, and obviously, it's completely different. Shady can go anywhere and make millions of dollars. But simple fact is, you have to take the principles of any normal job and apply it here, because you need to fall in. And if you're in a job where you're doing your own thing and your boss wants you to do it one way, and you're like, you know what? I'm pretty sure I can do it better this way. I'm just going to do it this way.
You just got to convince him. That's what you got to do.
Well,
you got to convince him.
If
you go
to
him and you explain why you think you can do it better.
Yeah,
do it respectfully.
Absolutely. You go to your boss and say, hey, listen, I know you're new here. I've been here for a couple of years. I've really had success doing whatever this way. Can I just really show you how it works, blah, 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 blah.
And you say, hey, I don't really like it, I still want it my way, then I'll do it your way.
All right.
give you a chance. Like, you know, if you show him that respect, if you show most bosses that level of respect, they're going to at least give you a shot, or at least listen to you with an open mind.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
well, I heard one time my dad told me, and then I heard it again on a show, and one of our favorite shows, but I said, those who want respect, give respect.
Yep.
And it's,
absolutely.
And I LaShawn McCoy definitely didn't show the respect. And I think in that sense, Chip Kelly did show LaShawn McCoy plenty of respect.
Yeah.
Even afterwards.
No, absolutely. And quite honestly, is, you know what, Chip has this idea in his head of how the perfect football team should be. And you know what? Not everybody.
And I don't want to get in the way of that. Sometimes I might call into question some of his moves. But if he better have a plan. Then, like, this better work, because either you're going to be the biggest genius and you're going to bring us a championship and we're all going to love you, or, man, you're going to be vilified in this town. And with the kind of moves he's made, I don't see an in-between. Like, it's one of those two.
You're absolutely right. And quite honestly, Chip has taken this league by storm ever since he's been in here. And not everybody gets their chance to really, truly have the team that they want. Let's just let him have it for once. Let him build the team that he wants. Let him have the type of people that he wants. And let him play the scheme and the style that he wants. And let's just see how it works. Because honestly, like I've said before, the other way hasn't been working too well. So why not give it a shot? We have nothing to lose. We haven't won it. So why not try to do everything to try a little bit different to try to do everything to win it? And you know what?
To quote another movie, you know, what we've been doing for years, what's felt right, hasn't been working. Time to try a little wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. So give the man a little time. It's fine. I don't care. You don't like certain things that he does. I don't like certain things that he does. But in the long and the short, in the long run, I think that Chip Kelly he's 20 moves ahead. He's thinking, if I can do this will happen. This will happen.
I like him. Just because I question some things doesn't mean I don't like Chip Kelly, because I do. And I think he's a good coach. And, I mean, look, hey, I hope he proves me wrong on some of the things that I've called him out for. But I've also said when I think he's right about something. And I do think it's a long-term plan, but I think it evolves. I think every plan has to evolve. And
sure.
I think his
and
plan
sure
does evolve and change on the fly. So, in that sense, I do think he's very good at being able to adapt on the fly.
Like I said, you know what, I don't mind people being angry and upset over certain moves. Yeah, I know. But just ease up a little bit. You know, we've all seen it not work. It's been heartbreaking. We've all been there. It sucks. But you know what? What do we have? Honestly, what do we have to lose? Oh, no. Another couple of years of not winning the Super Bowl?
The last 50?
Yeah, that's been all my life. So what's another couple more years? I got to wait till I'm 67 years old to win a championship. You know what? I'm fine. As long as I get one. Just one before I die.
Oh, can we get one before then? Because I want my dad to get one.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. Well, your dad was alive when they won the championship, so.
Well, he was 10.
So?
Actually,
still
he was 9.
Still counts.
Well, sure, but you and I wouldn't have appreciated it as much when we were 9 as we would now.
All right, maybe you're right. But still, I'm not saying.
And plus, he wasn't an
Eagle
fan at the time. He was living in Baltimore. He was a Colt fan.
That's true. So, all right, well, we're about to get cut off. So we want to thank everybody for listening. Make sure you stay tuned for the Big Philly Style blog. Check us out on Twitter, on the Twitter site, at Big Philly Style Blog 3. Also check out our show Twitters, the_Philly_Mick, and the_Philly_Hump. Check us out on Facebook. You can see